Well, indeed, if anybody ever asks, why are y'all so devoted to the kingdom of God? Why would you say, thy kingdom come? Why are you so devoted to this person called Jesus Christ that you would say, thy will be done and not mine? Why are you devoted to this king? Because he shed his blood for me. When Paul was giving his farewell to the church at Ephesus, it says in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he said to the elders, he said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Now let me just stop there as we walk through this verse. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Now you recognize that we are in the 21st century. This was in the first century. So we're looking at 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit inspires Paul to tell the elders of the church at Ephesus, you need to be on guard. Can you imagine what the word would be today about how the church needs to be guarded? I can't even imagine what the Apostle Paul would say if he could see the plight of America. But he says here, be on guard, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's what we just celebrated, that we are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that the world does not understand is the fact that we are devoted to him because we recognize that we do not belong to ourselves anymore. The world is very proud of the fact that they belong to themselves. They do what they want. This is their life. They can do what they want with it. That's fine. This is not my life. I willingly surrender my useless life to the King of the universe who gave his life for my life. And so our life is not ours anymore. He purchased me. He purchased you. He purchased his body, the church, with his blood. We praise him for that. And as you look at this passage, you recognize that he said, now notice, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Listen, even in the realm of Christianity, if we're not careful, people still size each other up because we're so worldly even in the church. And if you're not careful, a lot of times you get your own sense of usefulness, even within spiritual circles, how you see you comparing to other people. But folks, the only reason we're here at all is because the ground is level at the cross. We're all useless. The wages of sin is death, and we were in such a difficult circumstance that the Son of God had to die on a cross for us to have anything. And so no matter what position or place of service someone finds themselves in, Jesus is the only reason we're here. And the Holy Spirit made them overseers. And so wherever you find yourself within the kingdom of God, you may find yourself as a parent in a home, as a teacher over students, as a staff member at a church, as a person in a position at a business. Wherever you find yourself, as a Christian, you recognize you are there by the design of your Heavenly Father. And so like we talked about last week, that even though we would agree that in the United States, we live in a democracy, we are a people who are part of a kingdom with a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so when you think about where our nation is right now, and you think about what's going on this coming week, you can imagine that roughly somewhere in the middle of this coming week, roughly half of our nation is going to be celebrating, and roughly half of our nation is going to be disappointed or even very angry. Would you agree with that? That's kind of where our nation is. But in the midst of that, there's a group of people in the United States who have been commanded and blessed to rejoice always, no matter what. Say, who's that? Well, that's the people of God. He's commanded us rejoice always. He's blessed us with the ability to rejoice always, because no matter what happens this coming week in the United States, our King is still on the throne. Rejoice always. So, wherever you find yourself, the elders found themselves in that position at the church at Ephesus, but they were there because of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit has placed you, just like Paul said to the Corinthians, God places each member in the body just as He desires. Wherever you find yourself, you have influence on others and one another, and we need to remember that we need to encourage one another about how we're living in that kingdom while living in this democracy. Now, if you heard what I just said, I want to change that a little bit. How you live in that kingdom of God should have an impact on everything you do in this democracy. But I want to change that. I want our focus to be different. So let's put it this way. How we live in this kingdom will affect everything we do in that democracy. You notice how I changed the demonstrative pronouns for those of you who like English, and most of you don't, so. How we live in this kingdom, in other words, what is present and real and ever affecting my life should be the kingdom of God. And that is what affects my living in that democracy, because that democracy is not my eternal home. Okay? And so what I want to say to you is that wherever you find yourself, our encouragement to one another is to be reminded that we live in a kingdom with the King. We're not just going to heaven one day, but we already live in this kingdom where Jesus is King and He's reigning over the throne of our hearts, and that is our life. And I want to share with you several scriptures this morning that will point in that direction, that whatever you do, it will have an impact in direct relation to the fact that you are in a kingdom with a King, and His name is Jesus Christ, and praise God, it's not just a 4-year term. So, whatever you do, let's give Him glory. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. We looked at that briefly at the end of last sermon, Sunday's sermon. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. One of the things we recognize when we celebrate what we just celebrated in the blood of Christ is that He did not die for me because way back in eternity somewhere, God looked down and He saw Matt and He said, "Oh, Matt's a great guy. I think I would die for him." You remember the way Paul put it to the Romans? He said, not too many folks are going to die for others. Maybe, perhaps, sometime they might die for a good person. It's not that God looked down and saw me, "Hey, Matt's kind of good, I think I'll die for him." There is none good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says, okay? And so we recognize that all glory goes to Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things you're going to see in the verses that we're going to look at, that this is not just while you're in the church building. One of the things that is very clear about the teaching of the New Testament is that the new believers had a faith that affected every aspect of their life, not just when they were at church, okay? Not when they were just having some kind of religious celebration or devotional. It affected every part of their life. And so whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And there are certainly some things in this world where the world is trying to give glory to that, give glory to this, give glory to something over there. And it says, no, whatever you do, give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because were it not for Him, you would not have life. No one else gives us life. Then you look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, and listen, that includes a lot. You know, we like to say actions speak louder than words, but boy, we got a lot of words, don't we? I mean, people are just jabbering all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If Christian people would put this verse into practice, it would change the facial structure of our nation. You hear what I'm saying? The very fact that you and I engage in conversation with the world and leave it worldly is one of the biggest downfalls of our witness in this world. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is so much conversation that goes on that couldn't possibly be credited to the person and character of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about in the conversation of Christian people. Amen. So whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things I'm hoping you will hear in this, when you think about the name of Jesus, you're not just talking about a religious structure. Well, we're trying to do the right thing, so that means the name of Jesus. No, when you look at it, it says giving thanks through him to God the Father. So there's two very particular things I want you to see about this verse that develop the lifestyle. If you go start at the end of it, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So while I'm doing whatever I'm doing, while I'm saying whatever I'm saying, I'm on the inside saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Kay and I have been saying, thank you, Lord, for your help this week because we needed his help. When I become the nurse at home, we're in trouble. And so, but while you're doing whatever you're doing, you are saying, okay. Oh, some of y'all got sidetracked. I'm sorry. Don't lose that, okay? Kay just fractured her fibula. It's okay. Some of y'all didn't know that, and y'all, I didn't want you to lose track with the sermon. Stay with me. But while you're talking, while you're doing whatever you're doing, you're giving thanks to him. So it's a very personal life that we're living. It's not like, and certainly there the quiet times we have, the daily devotional time, and you're spending time with the Lord, by all means. But when you leave that moment and you go off into your daily life, you're not just going into a secular life. You're walking with the Lord through that life. And so you're walking with the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving, and you're recognizing that you're wanting to thank the Father for all his blessings. The only way you get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so you're living it. So it's a very personal life. And then when it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it is a very intentional life. And I'll just be honest with you. There are a lot of days when we will go through that day and we are brain dead spiritually. We are not going through that day wanting to be sure that everything that comes out of our mouth and everything that comes out of our life and activity is representing the character and person of Jesus. But this verse is very intentional because it's very personal. And I think that's one of the things that happens. We forget to be in conversation with our Lord and Savior while we're living out life. When we remember to be in conversation, and that conversation being surrounded with an attitude of thanksgiving, then we're much more naturally going to be thinking about, oh, I want to intentionally do this in a way that honors him. I want to intentionally say this in a way that honors him. But a lot of times we get in a circumstance with the world and we just have conversation with the world and we're just not even acknowledging him. Or a lot of times we experience something and our response to that experience is simply worldly, emotional, rather than, thank you, Lord, that I don't walk through this alone. I walk through it with you. How do you want me to respond to it? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Very intentional. And while you're doing it, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see what I'm saying? And so whatever you do, it is not just compartmentalized life. Here's my religious life. Here's my work life. Here's my family life. Here's my play life. Everything, whatever you do. And so, matter of fact, as you're studying Colossians chapter 3, you find he makes it very clear. This is not just religious life and then you go on and live your worldly life. Because this is where he begins to say, those of you who are parents act this way, those of you who are children act this way, those of you who are slaves, and we might would say in the context, employees, those of you who are masters comes after in chapter 4. But if you look at Colossians 3, verse 23, many of you know that, and putting verse 24 with it. Whatever you do, there are those words again, whatever you do, do your work, okay? And again, this is not talking about your work in the church. Now, when I say that, it would include that. But because of the context of talking about parents and children and employers and employees, wherever you are, you do that work as for the Lord rather than for men. You might have a superior. You might have a boss. You might have someone who oversees you. But still, you are doing your work because you have a king in a kingdom. And how wonderful it is that he is wanting to use you. And just what he had said to the elders at the church at Ephesus, he said, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. And so no matter where you are in life, whatever you do, that work is to be done with a passion for Christ. And a lot of folks will say, yeah, but what I'm doing is not church work. Yeah, it is. See, that's one of our misconceptions. Our misconception is because I have a secular job, it's not church work. Yes, it is. You cross paths with so many people that the ministers of your church are never going to see. How are they going to get to see the gospel? They're going to see it through you. And so you do your work heartily as for the Lord. And so when people at your work see you living differently and talking differently and behaving differently, the Lord is going to use that to have an impact in their life because you're doing it while you're thanking the Lord and doing it in His name and you're doing it for Him. Because you know how it is. Every now and then you've got a superior, and it may be at work, it may be at school, it may be at home, but you've got somebody who's in some kind of authority over you, and they're not nice people. Almost all of us know what that's like, okay? You say, well, I don't want to do a good job. They don't deserve it. Doesn't matter. Your king deserves it. So whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord. Now notice what he says in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. See, most people go to work, get a job, and then they anticipate that that job, that business, is going to reward them with a paycheck. Okay, that's normal. But once you become a Christian, your anticipations change. And all of a sudden, you're doing your work, whatever that work is, so that your king is pleased, and you're recognizing that it is from him that you will receive the greatest blessing in life. And so when you think about whatever it is that you do during the week, think about it right now. Do I normally do what I am doing, trying to do my best because I want to please the Lord, and I'm thanking Him all along the way, or has that even been part of my existence? You live in a kingdom. You have a king. And the scripture is saying your life is forever changed and all aspects of your life are changed. Matter of fact, it says in Romans 14, verse 23, the last part, it says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. And so it's not talking about just within the walls of the church. Anything you do in life, now that you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, if it is something that is not of faith, it's not where the Lord wants you to be. If it is something that is not of the character of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it is not where He wants you to be. Galatians 6 puts it this way, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Whatever you do, you reap what you sow. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Whatever you do, you reap what you sow. So, we come today to do this in remembrance of Jesus. Well, did we just have a ceremony and just every now and then we do that? And we remembered him several months ago. We already did that. Didn't we already do that? Can we check that off the list? No, this is a reminder that this is how we live. Whatever you do that remembering who your King is and what he did for you. But boy, it's hard, isn't it? But we live in a world with so much stuff going on and so confusing. And it's so easy to have all this garbage in our mind. And let's just be honest, whereas there are enormous reservoirs of garbage all in our world pouring in our direction, let's be honest, a lot of times we've invited it right in. Most of us spend so much more time listening to and watching the garbage that's in the world than we spend listening to what God has for us, okay? And so our minds are there. See, that's why the Holy Spirit led Paul to tell the church at Philippi what it did in Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, true, honorable, and right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Christians wonder why they're struggling so much of the time. A lot of times we're struggling because our minds are not dwelling here. Our minds are dwelling on those reservoirs of misery and problems and ugliness and issues all in the world. You say, well, all those issues are actually there. Yes, they are. But we have a King, and we have a King that is able to deliver. We have a King that is able to save. We have a King that is able to strengthen and to guide us through this time. And so whatever you do, let your mind dwell on these kind of things. Are there these kind of things out there? Not from the world, but from the kingdom of God, these things are limitless. They're all over the place. As we watch the life of Christ and as we watch His Spirit's work in our life, if we're paying attention, it is all right there. So whatever you do, let your mind dwell here. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, do it for His glory. While you're doing whatever you do, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Whatever you do, remember that you want Him to be pleased at the end of the day. Whatever you do. Say, boy, it's hard. There's so much junk going on in my life right now, and how do you not focus upon that? You need His help, but you have His help. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. We must focus upon Him. When we do, we'll be glad we did. We'll go on our way rejoicing, thanking Him, and being reminded, I need to live this way. It's very difficult, but we have a strength that is beyond ourselves in Jesus Christ. But we said at the beginning, Paul prayed that you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, and when we partake of Jesus Christ, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Whatever you do. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for the cross, so undeserving. We just praise you that you would commit your life for the likes of us. Remind us, Lord, that we live in your kingdom and you are still and always will be on the throne. Lord, help us wherever we find ourselves in this moment today, later this week, in the midst of the turmoil of our nation. Let it be that the world about us sees a different kind of light, a light that is beaming from an eternal source, and that being you. Thank you that you have been the light in our life and that you have given us the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Christ. May that face be seen through us as we give thanks for you and for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.